Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Even if you have an appointment, the phrase, "the doctor will see you now," is something you're more likely to hear after 10 to 20 minutes in the waiting room. Longer if you're not so lucky and your doctor is in a busy practice. Busy is the operative word here. As practices take on more patients to make more money to cover rising healthcare costs, consumers lose out on face-to-face consulting time, on the doctor knowing who we are and our specific health issues, even on our ability to book an appointment on a timely basis. Advances in medicine aside, we, the patient, are losing out on the human aspect of care.
Enter the rise of concierge medicine, also known as private medicine or retainer medicine. Doctors who practice under this format limit the number of patients they'll accept. There's more individual focus, 24/7 access, and a highly personal approach to the doctor-patient relationship. Here to walk us through this new trend in patient care is Tom Blue, a pioneer in concierge medicine who has built private physician practices since 2002. He's the executive director of the American Academy of Private Physicians.
Welcome to Take Care, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Explain for our listeners the concept of concierge medicine.
Well, this is something that got its start back in the late 1990s with some primary care doctors who had at the time kind of gotten fed up with the accelerating pace with which primary care was having to be delivered. And so they were finding that they were increasingly frustrated as their patients were increasingly frustrated with longer wait times and shorter time with their doctor. And a lot of what kind of inspired them to get into medicine in the first place was gradually sort of seeping away from the practice of primary care. And so these kind of brave doctors and pioneering doctors back at the time, which interestingly took place in Southern Florida as well as in the Seattle, Washington area almost simultaneously, one day went out to their patients and said, "Look, we'd like to change our practice into something that you join more like a health club, see fewer patients and pay more attention to those patients and kind of restore the whole doctor-patient relationship and relieve ourselves of having to work at the pace that's dictated by the payer system. You know, who's in?" And they discovered that there was a significant appetite among patients at the time, mostly Medicare age older patients, for engaging in this kind of direct relationship with their doctor in exchange for the relationship that both the doctors and patients had really aspired to. At first, it was challenged as to whether it was even legal for doctors to charge patients privately for services that weren't covered explicitly by insurance. And that was overcome and resolved in the early 2000s. And ever since, this has been a movement that's really expanded and accelerated at a pretty astonishing clip. And so now there are thousands of doctors around the country practicing private medicine at all sorts of different price points and service offerings and kind of service mixes. And it's something that's proven to be very satisfying to both doctors and patients, mostly in primary care, although we also see the same model beginning to gain roots in other subspecialties.
Okay, so you liken it to a health club. Good analogy, helps listeners understand. And you say that they charge privately. So this is not payment that an insurance company will pick up. This is an out-of-pocket expense that the patient chooses to take on because of the implied quality of care and access that it provides the patient in their relationship with their doctor.
That's right. And it's more than just implied. I mean, these are agreements that patients enter into. There's almost always a written agreement that goes with it to explain what exactly it is that the patient is receiving in exchange for their subscription investment. And it almost always entails a more thorough annual health evaluation and sort of a plan of prevention and care for the year. Much, much easier access to the doctor, longer appointments without waiting. Most of these doctors are quite pleased to see people via telemedicine channels. So for the majority of times in primary care where the purpose can be safely accomplished without the patient having to physically go to the office so that the doctor can bill, doctors are happy to see people by phone or email or Skype. I mean, it's a very rich and very concrete and explicit set of services that people receive.
Give us an idea. Just ballpark the lowest price you've seen out there and the more high end for 24/7, I'm there at your bedside holding your hand.
Well, the average price nationwide is about $125 a month. So in that sort of $1,500 to $1,800 price range is the national average for this type of medicine. Over time, what we're seeing is more and more practices launching what they call direct primary care offerings, which is certainly under the umbrella of you know, subscription medicine, private medicine. And prices are beginning to fall. So today you can find practices that charge as little as $50 a month for patients, and of course are now attracting a more working age audience of people that are on high deductible insurance plans and want to kind of subscribe for primary care because they realize they're likely not to hit their deductible at all anyway. On the high end, you still see practices that they're by far more outliers, but there are some sort of luxury practices that charge upwards of $25,000 a year. They are infrequent and rare enough that they don't really affect the average membership fees across the country, but there certainly are examples of very high end practices like that.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
We're talking about concierge medicine with Tom Blue, who's the executive director of the American Academy of Private Physicians. Would you explain how health insurance figures into this equation? You were saying some people subscribe to this type of concierge medicine service because they know they're not even going to hit the deductible. Can any of this be billed through insurance, or this is completely outside of insurance coverage?
Well, these membership fees are outside of insurance coverage. And so there are two kind of possible models for patients to explore when they're shopping for these types of services. The first, and kind of the oldest, is what's called a fee for non-covered service practice, which is where the doctor continues to charge insurance or Medicare for services that are covered by insurance or Medicare. And the membership fee is explicitly for things not covered. The alternative is where the doctor has sort of separated him or herself from the payer system entirely and has opted out of Medicare and opted out of commercial health plans. And the subscription fee covers all aspects of their primary care. So as consumers are shopping, it's important for them to understand sort of the doctor's relationship with insurance carriers and Medicare as they make their decision. That latter kind, where the doctor has separated entirely from the insurance system, is generally referred to as direct primary care and is more appealing to working age folks who have, as I mentioned, high deductibles and kind of feel like, you know, unless something goes drastically wrong, their catastrophic insurance is not likely to play a role in how they pay their healthcare expenses during the course of the year. And for a reasonable amount of money every month, they can sort of check the box on primary care services and also get the conveniences that are very appealing to working people who don't want to have to leave work if they can avoid it to, you know, to take care of primary care needs.
But when somebody is healthy and well, not a lot more is needed. But if a blood test reveals that there's further doctor's visits ahead, they then are going to a specialist or even having tests done like CAT scans or x-rays and maybe even need surgery in the hospital. So that primary care physician that they are having this exclusive relationship, what happens then? Do those doctors have admitting privileges at the local hospitals, or is the patient then on their own for all that extra stuff?
Well, certainly the costs of those extra services are not covered by a membership fee to a primary care office. The role that different doctors play in these different scenarios really does vary. And again, those are great questions for people to ask as they're kind of shopping for private medical services. The most interesting, I think, kind of role that these doctors are playing in services that take place outside their office are actually going out on behalf of their patients and prearranging cash prices for things. So great examples would be with lab testing and with imaging services, where if patients are willing to pay directly upfront for services in cash, the discounts can be astonishing, far better than the negotiated in-network rates with your insurance carrier. And so, again, as these sort of opportunities to create savings for patients become more and more apparent to doctors, a lot of them are going out and sort of serving in a navigation role for patients to help them both get good care, but also to get it in a way that is optimized financially.
You've had a lot of experience in this field. Who are you finding are the biggest consumers of concierge medicine?
Well, it began as something that was primarily Medicare age patients. And it would stand to reason that a lot of these folks, they are dependent on their relationship with their doctor, and many were willing to pay a membership fee simply to preserve that relationship and not have to go start a new one. As deductibles have gone up, and as people find themselves more and more financially on the hook for their ill health, what we're finding is people increasingly interested, again, driven by financial motivation or the financial realities of being ill, in prevention and preventive maintenance and in kind of care navigation. And so what we're seeing is more and more younger people drawn to these models as well now. And so it sort of depends on the price point. If it's a high-priced practice, north of, let's call it $2,000 a year, generally speaking, and again, this varies a little bit by market, but generally speaking, that practice is likely to be comprised of more Medicare-age patients. Lower-cost practices in the direct primary care realm tend to appeal more to working-age people because it works alongside their high-deductible insurance plan, and many of the service amenities are really designed for people that are interested in using technology telemedicine and virtual visit as a mode for accessing care.
Tom, how does your group, the American Academy of Private Physicians, address the concerns of some who say that concierge medicine has created a two-tiered system that favors the wealthiest Americans who can afford to pay out of pocket and creates a system that allows those with money basically to get better health care?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, this was a criticism that was leveled against concierge medicine early on. And in fact, the media kind of assigned the name concierge medicine to the entire concept. And as time has gone by, I think what people have seen is that, you know, with prices now averaging $125 and very commonly being found at well under $100 a month, I mean, you hardly need to be a millionaire in order to afford these types of services. The second argument is when you actually look at the people who are subscribing, certainly there are affluent people who seek out and find concierge medical practices, but it has an enormous appeal to people as well as even to employers who may not even have a health plan as a way to ensure that you've got good, solid primary care, which again, for the typical person, is all the medical care they'll need in a given year. And so I think that the realities of who actually is using and investing in this type of medicine has served to really dispel the myth that it's only for wealthy people.
Tom Blue is a pioneer in concierge medicine who has built private physician practices since 2002. He is the executive director of the American Academy of Private Physicians and is the co-founder and chief strategy officer of Lead Health. Tom, thank you for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.